Thank you, Daryl, for that warm introduction. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want to begin this morning with Psalm 118, verse 24. We'll do sort of a call and response. It will go like this. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made." I'd like for you to respond, "Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And then we will all together say, "Amen." Can we try that? "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. Yes. How can we rejoice and be glad in this day? Some of us, it's a natural thing. We have good things going on in our lives right now. We're happy. We come here. It's easy for us to sing and be happy. In a congregation of this many people, though, I'm pretty sure that there are some of us here this morning who come struggling, who it's harder for us to sing and be happy. Maybe you come right now experiencing darkness and despair and loneliness, sadness, regret, anger, whatever it is. It may be a little harder for you to rejoice and be glad in this day. So how can we do that? Well, I'm going to emphasize that every Lord's Day, that this is a day that we can rejoice and be glad in. And it's not because of the circumstances going on in our lives. I think we know that. Sometimes it's hard to internalize that, but we need to be reminded of that. It's a day that the Lord has made. And so, as the brother said this morning in the prayer, it's worth rejoicing that God woke us up this morning and brought us here, right? Yeah. It's a gift from God. And so, no matter what we're going through, we can always ask, what's God going to do in me today? How can I be used for God this day? It's a day to rejoice in because we know that the Lord reigns, that through Christ He has overcome death, that He is going to right all the wrongs. And so that gives us joy and hope. And it's the Lord's Day. We gather here today to do the most meaningful thing that creatures can do, and that is to commune with the body and blood of the Lord, and to offer our praise and glory and honor and thanks and adoration to the God of all creation, who transcends all, but is also here in our midst. And so what a wonderful day it is for us to gather and worship our God. It was the first Lord's Day of 2018, nearly 5 years ago, when I came here and began a role as an interim preacher here at Leander. Some of you remember that. I remember it very well. It was a fill-in role. It was one that lasted for 13 months. Back then, you didn't really know what you were getting yourselves into. Now you have no excuse, okay? As my dad would say, you're glutton for punishment, all right? And so I found this sermon from 5 years ago and dusted it off, and you're going to get to hear it again. It was nearly 4 years ago when I preached last year, and then Nathan and Avery came. Well, lots happened in those last 4 years, hasn't it? A lot has changed in those 4 years. In our society, in this congregation, in your life, in my life, just think over those last 4 years. I think in a time of transition like this, it's good for us to think back over those last few years and maybe reflect on some of those changes before we think about where we are now and where we're heading. Our society, as I said, has been through a lot. COVID, need I say more? How crazy was that? Okay? The uncertainty, the loss of jobs, the politicization of everything that we never dreamed could be politicized, right? And debated, and all the division. Now the rising costs and inflation, rising crime, I think has even come to Leander. Someone apparently in the last 4 years came in and stole the pulpit. I'm feeling a little vulnerable here, okay? So, but it's been challenging in our society, has it not? It's been hard. Much has been revealed, I think, in all of this about who we are as a society. And so it would be wise for us to reflect on those changes and what it has revealed about us as a culture as we move forward. This congregation has been through some changes too, some very obvious ones. I mean, everyone seems a little older than last time I was here. I can tell that. But along with the familiar faces, I see some unfamiliar faces, some new faces here, and that's wonderful. I hope to get to know you all soon as well. I see some missing. I'm sure that we've had some loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord in the last few years. I'm sure we've probably had some people who've moved out of the area. And so the church has changed. I also can see that good works continue. The food pantry, just seeing that video was incredible. I'm just inferring from that that is still going strong, maybe hopefully even better than before. I know that communities, even here in Leander, have such great need for good works of service like that. So it's really good to see those sorts of things still happening here. My life has changed quite a bit. As noted, I'm still married to Amanda, so that hasn't changed. But other things have changed as we've gotten older. It happens in life. I was sort of asked, I think, maybe just to update a little bit. Our two oldest children are students at Texas A&M. And thank you. And the oldest is married now. Our youngest is a senior in high school. And so is at Brentwood Oaks Church of Christ today, manning the nursery. She's on nursery duty, so and probably will be there most of the time, even as we come here on Sunday mornings. It was mentioned that, just to say a little bit about who I am, for those of you who are new to me, I taught at Harding University for 7 years in the Bible department there. Then we moved to Austin 10 years ago, and I taught, as was mentioned, at Austin Graduate School of Theology for 9 years. That seminary has recently closed, so I'm done there, but really happy to have helped establish and now in the director of the Center for Christian Studies. The goal of this ministry really is to provide excellent biblical and theological resources for churches. And for any Christians who want to dig deeper into their faith and understanding. Maybe there'll be times when I can say more about that ministry. But I do that full-time. That's my full-time ministry. I also continue to teach part-time for two seminaries. One is Heritage Christian University in Florence, Alabama, and then Harding School of Theology in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, so that's about me. Let's spend a few moments just talking about our responsibilities to one another in this relationship. All right, and some of this, I think, will sound familiar to some of you. My responsibilities are really stability in the pulpit, so to speak, or wherever it is, okay? Stability in preaching, all right? There's a ministry staff here. You know them well. They can preach also. But just to take this responsibility off the plate on an almost every week basis, I think will be a help because all the ministry staff is going to have to probably be doing other things and additional things picking up the slack, so to speak, where they haven't had to. And so just to take mostly preaching off the table as a concern, I think will be a help. I hope it will be. So I will be gone occasionally, and you'll see people filling in for the fill-in, all right? That will happen. I was also thinking about, I'll just say by the way here, what to preach on. Amanda suggested that I might want to preach through the book of Romans. Everybody loves Romans, right? Okay. The joke here is that a couple of you remember that I did Romans last time. We preached through the book of Romans, and it worked out really well. Just finished the book right at 13 months there. So she said no one would remember, and that I could just pull them out again. So I did consider that, but I know that I would be bored doing that. So instead, I am thinking about backing up one book in the Bible and going through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings, with some breaks here and there for some other topics. But Acts is such an informative and encouraging and inspiring book. And I want to say, you know, it's been, and I'll say more about this as we get into it starting next week, but Acts has, in Churches of Christ, I think, been a book we've traditionally gone to quite a lot and may have a sort of a good familiarity with it. And that's a good thing I want to build on. I want to say that Acts is informative and encouraging and inspiring, maybe for ways that we don't even imagine. And I hope that we can discover together in the coming weeks. So Acts is going to be it. We will have, we will be hearing the book of Acts read, week to week as we go through it, starting in chapter 1, and engage in a fairly careful study and application of this book. So I hope that you'll come ready for that with your Bibles, maybe even reading ahead in the chapter for that week to come. So I'm excited about Acts. Also, I don't know how long my role here will be needed. And so Acts is a book that if we need to cut it short, you know, we can do that. But there's also plenty of material there, I think, to take us for about as long as we will need to. So those are, as I understand them, my primary responsibilities here. And I do want to say before I go further that I thank the elders for the invitation to be here in this role once again, for their confidence and trust that they've placed in me, and just in the responsibility here. I want you to know that I don't take that responsibility lightly. Well, your responsibilities to me. Maybe you didn't know you had responsibilities to me, all right? But lo and behold, yeah, I've got a couple I can think of. One, no falling in love with me, all right? For some of you, that will never be a temptation, all right? And that's good. But what I mean by that is no falling in love with the interim preacher, all right? Why? Because I'm temporary. You remember this point? I said the same thing 5 years ago, all right? So no falling in love. This is not a date, all right? The church will be on real dates, probably blind dates, in the coming weeks and months. But that's not what this is. We are friends hanging out, all right? So no falling in love, because I'm temporary. Amanda said people can fall in love if they want to, so she's given the green light to that. But I think I'm going to stick with the talking point here. Guess what else? No hating either, all right? For the same reason, I'm temporary. If you don't like the book of Acts and you don't like the sermons that you hear, just be patient, all right? It will come to an end, I promise. I am merely the bridge. Yes, a role that I'm honored to fill, but it is temporary. And so I would appreciate, of course, and seriously, your love and support and prayers for me in this role. I also request that whoever's in charge of this, if you could give me an updated print version of the pictorial directory with all the members in it, that would be actually very helpful to me. I'd like to be able to call out people's names if I see you sleeping during the sermons, okay? And now your responsibilities in general, not to me, but just during this time of transition. What does this look like? Well, we have a new situation here. And new situations call for a measure of flexibility from everyone, right? So as with any time of transition, there's a bit of unknown, okay? We don't have all the answers. But I want to say that with the transition and with the unknown comes also a great opportunity. There's opportunity for lots of things. And I'm not going to mention all of them here, but some things come readily to mind. Opportunity for taking this time to step back a little bit and, let's say, take stock and ask some important questions. Who are we? Where do we want to go? What is our mission and our purpose? During the worship, I was looking at this mission statement up here again, and I think this is a good place to start, a good place, good thing to remind ourselves of. It looks like central there is the mission to hold to the Word of God and to prayer. To love our neighbors near and far, cultivate youth and family discipleship, share life as a grace-filled and diverse community, engage in life-changing worship. So it's good to revisit important missions and goals like that. How will you implement this today? Right? What kind of people, what kind of church do we want to be at the end of this interim process? In 5 years? In 10 years? As a church, have we acquired any unhealthy habits that hinder these goals? Things that we need to address? These are good times to do that kind of assessment as a congregation, to think about our strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats, that kind of analysis, right? So I would say a good time for that in transition. And as I said, we may have more questions than we have answers about all of this. And so when that happens, as it says there in the central point, this is a time for prayer. That's one of our responsibilities. It's a time for prayer about all the things I just mentioned. Also, prayer specifically, and this was mentioned earlier too, prayer as you begin and engage in this search for a permanent preacher. Pray that God will lead you to the right person. And you may not know what that right person is even going to look like right now at this point. As you well know, just as I was not Rob, I am not Nathan. That is obvious, okay? We're different. I am also not the coming permanent preacher. I'm not like him. And that's okay. And the coming preacher is not Nathan. We're all different, all right? With different gifts and different strengths that we trust God will use in His time. Let me also just pause and say that it's a good time to put up a prayer of thanksgiving for Nathan's ministry here, for the many lives that he and Avery touched while they were here. And so we pray for this time of transition, providing a time for some closure and for a little distance in asking what we need in a preacher. It need not be a stressful time, okay? But it can be a time for learning and growing. A time to refocus on our own congregational health. A time also to clarify our role in this community of Leander. and what it is we're here to do. In addition to prayer and reflection, it's also a time for action. I really want to stress that. It is a time for action too. Just because it's a time of transition, slacking off is not the proper response. And it's something I mentioned because I think we could be tempted to do that, to just sort of sit back and take a break, when really the best thing to do now is to continue your good works of service. Continue to be busy in the kingdom and to look for new ways to serve, because we know that God will work through that process to bring some of the clarity and the answers that we're looking for. So please be excited about this new season for this congregation. I want to close this morning, and this is the shortest sermon I will do here probably, so you can be excited about that too. But I want to just close with a brief reminder of the scripture that we heard before the sermon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10. I won't read it again, but I really like what David said, that this was a word for the Thessalonian believers, but it's also a word for us here this morning. And so let's just remind ourselves of what we heard about Thessalonica, but also about this congregation. Because the Thessalonian letter here, we see, I think, a model of prayer and action, the kind of thing that I'm trying to encourage us to participate in. Verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and constantly or continually mention you in our prayer. It's this same language that Paul uses later on at the end of the letter, in chapter 5, verse 17, when he tells the Thessalonians to pray continually or constantly. Paul has prayed continually for them. He wants them to engage in that same kind of continuous, constant prayer. Partly, I would say, remembering him and his ministry. But that's our responsibility to one another, and it's right there in the Thessalonian letter. Let's be a people of prayer during this time. I also see here in these opening verses of 1 Thessalonians a people with a clear identity. And that's what we need to be also, people with a clear identity. You see this in verse 4, for example. He addresses the church there as a church that is loved by God and chosen by God. They know who they are in Christ. And that needs to be our touchstone as well during a time of transition and unknown, that whatever's going on, we know who we are in Christ. People of action. And that, I think, gets to my third point here. That action flows from our identity in Christ. So, verse 6, he says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." You became a model. Verse 9, "Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, because everybody already knows." Okay? So, because of their identity in Christ, it flowed out in a faith that was working. Actions that reflected who they are. And so, I want to encourage us also to be imitators of our Lord and of other godly examples that we see before us. To let our faith be so well known that no one needs to say anything about it. It speaks for itself. We are who we are, and we do what we do because of Jesus Christ. And so we have an opportunity this morning to respond to the gospel. The gospel is the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. That God became man to bring us back into relationship with God. That Jesus Christ died, that he was raised and returned to the Father. He's poured out his Spirit who empowers us and fills us and sanctifies us. This is the good news. And if you'd like to respond to that good news with faith and repentance and baptism, or if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters here, whatever your need is this morning, please make it known while we stand and sing.